We've got John, Luke, and Cliff on the phone, and I guess, Cliff, if you want to just start telling your story, that's the point here. You got the floor.
All right. Well, I don't know what to say other than we started our program with Luke and John there, I think, about 5 years ago or so. We live on the Kenai Peninsula in Alaska, and my wife and I have been into gardening and interested in gardening for years, but we were always going down the road of compost is good, you know, manure is always good, composted leaves are always good, and so when we moved here about 8 years ago, we started gardening the way we used to garden before we moved here, and things were just strange. We had just oddball, you know, problems with diseases, and, you know, problems with the whether it be the tomatoes or the potatoes or the carrots. We had, you know, just things going weird. I remember our pea plants. We loved just sweet peas out of the garden, and those pea plants would grow 8 or 9 or 10 feet tall. I couldn't even reach them. But they wouldn't produce hardly anything for peas, and the pods that were there didn't have much in them. So anyway, I don't remember exactly how we got a hold of the previous the counterpart to what Luke does there now in Alaska, and she was very knowledgeable, very sweet lady up in the Matanuska Valley here, and she spent hours and hours on the phone with us answering our questions, and she basically did what Luke now does, and I was very hard to convince of she just encouraged us again and again to just stick with the plan, stick with the Hybrix program, and see what happens, and don't deviate. And I just, bless her heart, she was sweet and patient. I kept on wanting to add other things, but I'm very thankful now that I didn't. I've got pallets of bagged steer manure, chicken manure, you name it, that I bought at a closing out sale that I just wanted to put on our soil so badly. But we had these problems going on, and Christine there, she just begged me, don't do it, Cliff. Try this, and it's going to improve year after year. And that is exactly what has happened over the last just year by year. Our plants have gotten healthier, more productive, and we now have kind of everybody wanting to know what we're doing. And we're just not doing anything but following the Hybrix program that Luke and John have recommended. It's clean and easy and natural, as far as I understand. And we have just been so impressed. We are, my wife and I have 5 children. We have hundreds of pounds of fruits and vegetables out of our garden and high tunnel and greenhouse that we have in freezers, as well as just in storage. We store our carrots all winter, our potatoes all winter, and we have people wanting to buy our stuff, and it's not really what we're in it for, but we end up raising a little bit of extra to sell and end up paying for a lot of our expenses, as well as ending up with many, many dollars worth of very excellent and highly nutritious fruits and vegetables. So I probably missed a bunch. I don't know if there are questions, but we are just simply convinced, and I keep thinking that maybe next year won't be better, but it's always been better. It keeps on getting better and better. So diseases are a lot less, they're just virtually not a problem. We used to have a problem with aphids on our peppers. We virtually quit growing peppers because we couldn't get rid of the aphids. Since we've been doing this program and stopped hauling manure and stuff in, we have had no aphids. We raise hundreds and hundreds of jalapeno peppers, sweet peppers, bell peppers. We freeze them and put them up. They store extremely well. Our diseases have gone to virtually zero. Our carrots used to fork and crack and be all twisted. That doesn't happen. They were small. These are big Bugs Bunny looking carrots, about, 8 or 10 inches long. We sold some to a local feed store this fall, and they sold out in 45 minutes. And we didn't even have any more to sell them because we wanted to make sure we had enough of ourselves for ourselves. So we've got about 700 or 800 pounds of potatoes of a few varieties that are put up and storing just beautifully. They don't seem to rot or go bad nearly as soon. So I'm I don't have any profit in this thing at all. It's not what I'm here for. I'm not here to advertise anything. I'm just telling you how it has worked for us. It's been phenomenal, and we are raising nutritiously dense food for our family, and it looks and tastes delicious. So there we go.
Well Cliff, thanks for sharing all that. As we've talked on the phone many times, it's just so encouraging to hear your story because, I mean, you know, from the beginning and all the way through, and, you were kind enough to, I think 2 years ago, you sent a box of carrots and some of your smoked fish, salmon, which was delicious, and then this last fall you sent another box, and, I mean, all the way from Alaska to here, this stuff made it, and it tastes great, and it looks great, and it's just so encouraging to talk to you and hear it, you know. So thanks for sharing any of that. I don't know if there are any questions at this point, or John?
Okay. First of all, if there are questions, I would like to ask people to send it to highbasegardens@gmail.com. I'm ready to receive those. Don't use any other email. Cliff, I'm just kind of looking back and going back and looking. At the very beginning, there was one person that was really fairly perturbed or put off by the program that we had, and I remember talking with Christine, who was, and I was wondering if it was that, were you fairly put off at the very beginning at the program when you saw the recommendations, or what was your response there?
No, I don't think I've ever been what I would call put off. You know, there's a little bit of expense in it, and of course with our shipping to Alaska and stuff, it sort of makes our existing manure pile kind of attractive. But I don't recall ever being put off in any way. It's an easy system to use, very clean, and so I don't recall that. I can't say that I would feel like we were put off at all, other than you know, the first year, you don't necessarily notice dramatic differences, but there was enough difference in that first year that even though I was still contemplating and resisting my temptation to put other things in our soil, I didn't, and I'm so glad I didn't, because there were truly results immediately in the first year, and that has just gotten better and better over the last, it's something like 5 years, and I keep on thinking that it can't continue getting better. We have people stopping by and just we pull carrots out of the ground and they just, their jaws drop, you know. And so, that's kind of where we're at. The carrots, everything looks healthy and tastes delicious. So I know I got a little off track of your question there, but I don't ever feel like we've been, we are a little bit, if I could start over, I would probably try as much as possible to keep our gardening more in one or two spots instead of, we have five soil samples that we need to send in because we have just the way we garden, we've split things up. We started in one little spot and then we moved to another spot, but I wanted to keep that last spot. So anyway, if a person wants to try to keep your expenses down right from the beginning, it'd probably be a good idea to try to, you know, try to shrink down the scope of what you're doing in regards to, you know, needing one or two or three soil samples instead of a bunch like us. But that would have been my only, what would you say, complaint, but there's nobody to complain to but myself and my poor planning.
Okay. And would you talk a little bit about where your yield was before you began and then what you've seen since you've been on the program?
Yeah. Now, to tell you exactly, pounds and ounces of what, I can't say for sure, other than a lot more production now, and not so many oddball things, not nearly. Like with our carrots, the feed store that we sold to, they had assumed that we had culled out and just sold them our best, you know, 10 or 15%. It was the opposite. We probably only culled out 5% of maybe odd-shaped or something funny with the carrot that we would cull. But so the quality and quantity has improved dramatically. Our family likes to eat lots of sweet peas, green peas, and sugar snap peas. We've never, there are seven of us here, and usually when we're commercial fishing in the summertime, we end up with lots of visitors. We feed a lot of times 10 or 12 or 14 people at a meal, and we have all the sweet peas, all the sugar snap peas we want. In fact, we even we blanched and froze some sugar snap peas to use in stir fries and that kind of thing. We're still eating now, and we never used to have enough peas. It was always a problem. Now we don't have that problem at all. Raspberries, strawberries. I think we put up a couple hundred pounds of strawberries in a couple of 40-foot beds that are just a couple feet wide. We have about 400 or 500 pounds of carrots put away, stored in sand, and about 700 pounds of potatoes. And none of those are coming out of great big amounts of property. It's all pretty condensed. One other thing with production, our sweet corn. We grow sweet corn in Alaska, which is kind of supposedly not possible, but in our high tunnel where we can keep the heat units, we have grown our best crop yet is about 800 ears of corn in the one end of our high tunnel, and we want to improve some more on that. It's tricky, but volumes, quantities, unbelievable. Our jalapeno peppers, we probably raised something like somewhere between 500 and 800 jalapeno peppers that are, and I don't mean plants, but I mean the actual peppers, that are probably 4 or 5 inches long and inch to an inch and a quarter in diameter, bigger than anything you can buy in a grocery store. And that goes kind of across the board. We're putting up tomatoes, we're putting up asparagus, a couple different kinds of cucumbers, putting into pickles, you name it. So volume is fantastic.
Well, thank you. Kevin would like to know what would you consider was a little off in your garden when you first began that you've seen some of the great improvements in? When you were gardening, first of all, can you tell what were you doing mostly then, and then what were you saying? What was your big complaints, or where was it the worst in your garden before you began with us?
Well, you would sort of say everything. Some plants we could not get to grow. Period. Some plants the plants that come to mind particularly are the pea plants. I remember those pea plants growing to be taller than I could reach them, but they didn't produce peas, very few, and the pods were nearly empty. And as far as what we were doing, putting things in the soil, I was just gardening, I guess you'd say, more of the traditional attempt at organic. You know, we were just composting our leftover greenery and our lawn clippings and leaves and that kind of thing. Actually, there may not have been lawn clippings in there. I don't recall that. But anything we could compost or anything kind of natural that we could add. I mean, I felt like, how could you go wrong with aged steer manure in a bag? That was my mentality. And insofar, you could say that's the truth. But I think that would be a John question. I think unless you know what that aged steer manure has in it, and if your soil needs what that has in it, don't put it in it, because you could be sending something way out of balance. And that's one thing that Christine emphasized, because she had been a commercial vegetable farmer. She said you can put something in your soil that gives it an overdose of something, and it ends up being very, very difficult. It can take years to get that back out. And I'm learning that our soil is a structure, and it's something God gave us that's perfectly balanced, and it is capable of doing a very good job of growing what we want to grow. So I guess my experience would be, I can't emphasize enough, stick with the program 100%.
Well, thank you. I just want to give a little background for people on the phone call and also who later download this audio of what the contrast is with the Hybrix Gardens program versus what you described would be more of a conventional organic. And first of all, it's we follow just a few basic rules. What is excessive, we do not add. What is deficient, we do add. And we want to optimize to ideal. And those are some basic rules. And instead of working with the other rule is use full-spectrum nutrition. So we're always thinking about everything on our soil test and all of the other elements that are not even tested. We want to get them into the soil. So we primarily do that through using broad-spectrum trace mineral rock powders. When phosphorus is low, then soft rock phosphate becomes a very important rock powder. We also want to raise the calcium, so we use limestone for that. And then there's a number of other trace mineral things like kelp meal. We look at carefully at the magnesium. We're doing Epsom salts for that. And then there's a few other rock powders that we sometimes use if the soft rock and the phosphorus is not needed. In your case, Cliff, we've been doing a heavy amounts of soft rock phosphate because your phosphorus keeps coming up and showing low. And the reality is it's still showing low on the soil reports, but it's obvious from what you're describing that the plants are actually making use of it and it's actually working for you. So that's kind of the background of the program. Anything you want to add to that?
You know, nothing that comes to mind other than that I am not, I'm just a very common person that wants to raise vegetables for my family and myself. I don't know the science behind it. That's why I use John and Luke. And the program has been everything they have told me it was going to be. So I can't say any more about that except for that I love to have someone knowledgeable in those things that can help me get it right. And I'm at this point, we are both feet in completely because it's been working.
Okay, question here from David. He asked about, were you doing any soil testing, and what were they showing before you began working with us?
We did not do any soil testing. Soil testing is very important, but I guess I wasn't smart enough to do that. So we just went with what a local person told us was a good thing to start with. We went with our existing soil, and then the way I would remember was maybe about a dozen different ingredients. I don't even remember what those ingredients were other than, you know, there was some peat moss and some of this and that. There were no, you know, chemicals or anything like that. But it just looked like a good mix, and it was something a local person suggested, but it just turns out that we beat our heads against the wall for a couple of years, and it just didn't work for us.
Okay, another question that David has is, what products did you use to get your soil fixed up? I'll go ahead and answer that because I'm just looking at your reports here. David, and there was a lot of soft rock phosphate added almost every year because it was just continually showing short, a lot of limestone. There were trace mineral rock powders. We also use commercial fertilizers, ammonium sulfate and calcium nitrate, and 1152 or MAP. When potassium was low, there was some recommendations for potassium sulfate, Epsom salts, sea solids, kelp meal, a microbial inoculant, and then trace minerals specifically like manganese, copper, zinc, all of those in the sulfate forms. There were recommendations for some drenches and some foliar sprays, but the primary thing that affected the soil would be the broadcast of minerals. Another question, what are your soil test readings now? Now the pattern that most of Cliff's soil tests show are only moderate levels of available calcium, 1,100 to 1,400 pounds, maybe 1,500 pounds. So this is fairly low, but this is a pretty good number for Alaska. It's very difficult to raise high numbers on calcium and phosphorus in Alaska. I'm not sure why, but I've seen a lot of soil samples, and that seems to be a pattern. Here's a question that I've got for you, Cliff. What are the bricks of your vegetables, or have you been checking any of that?
Yes, and I'm going to get back to that in just a second, but a thought came to mind when you were talking about the drenches. That is one thing also that we are very, very busy in the summertime, and we have not been able to keep up with our drenches like we wish we could. So if that would actually improve it even more, it would be amazing. So these results we've gotten have been virtually 100% on the broadcasts, and then the Luke, you might be able to help me out on here because this is Amy's department, but I want to say it's the OND, and what was the other liquid?
Well, Jubilate and OND we've been using for years. A newer version of that is called transplant formula. It's just a one-step powder.
So,
but both of them have broad-spectrum nutrition plus biology. So
okay.
then that's used at planting. So the minerals and then using a pre-plant inoculant.
Right. Okay, so just wanted to make that clear that the results we have shown have been primarily without even doing the recommended drenches and whatnot, so it could get better than what we're doing. So in the question on the BRICS readings, I wish I would spend more time or have more time to do more of that, but we just tested our carrots here just a few days ago. They've been in storage now for, 2 months, I guess, or a little more, maybe 3 months. So I don't know how that affects the BRICS reading, but we were reading in the... Luke, you and I just talked about this the other day. I want to say it was 9-something. It was into the good range, not into the excellent range. And I'm understanding that even just to be in the good range is already a really good thing. So I haven't done much testing at all. I know we tested this about 3 years ago before we were at the point we are now, and I just haven't had or taken the time to do any comparison since.
Cliff, what are you seeing any rotting in 2 months later of carrot storage?
I'm glad you asked that. That is something we have also noticed a huge improvement with is our storage. And I do recall that now that you ask with our carrots. Our carrots were going bad kind of halfway through the winter. And now the last two winters, we have eaten carrots 12 months out of the year. Now those last carrots, by the time we're ready to harvest the fresh ones, they're getting kind of limp and flavorless, but they're still better than what you get in the store. So the storage has been wonderful. The potatoes don't rot. The carrots don't rot. Now, having said that, I think we've got a pretty good environment for our storage. And yet I know that carrots and potatoes do not like the same temperatures and humidities, and we've got them in the same building. So it's not perfect as far as a climate or environment, but it is. They are storing extremely well. We buy very, very little at the grocery store, actually.
And Cliff, just to give people a reference point, earlier you mentioned literally hundreds of pounds of this and hundreds of pounds of that. And do you mind if we share the total square footage of growing area that you have?
No, I don't mind at all. Go for it.
It's just under 6,000 square feet total. 4,000 square foot potato patch, 1,000 square foot high tunnel, 800 square foot garden, and then a 60 square foot greenhouse. So that's a fairly small area for the poundage that you're describing. I mean, you're growing a lot of food in that space.
And I will say, though, that Cliff has had to put in quite a bit of minerals over the time. It's not been reducing. It's heavy doses year after year is what the soil tests are showing. That's what we put on, and it's getting the results.
Right, and I guess when you asked about if I had a complaint per se, it would be no one's fault except for that it does add up some expense. We do spend quite a few hundreds of dollars every year. Our bill, I mean, I can divulge this, I think, is probably been in the $1,000 to $1,500 a year range for that amount of square footage. That has been decreasing, which is exactly what Christine told me what's going to happen. As your soil gets better, that decreases. Keeping in mind, we are feeding a lot of times 12 to 15 people off of that. We have a half-hour drive to the grocery store, and I feel like even if we weren't saving money, we're eating like kings. And I think if there was some way of calculating it, we'd probably find out we're dollars ahead besides eating just fantastic food that I feel good about eating.
Wow, great.
Thanks.
Getting some questions here. Do you send soil samples to the lab here, International Ag Labs? Yes, and you do not own a soil testing lab. So that's where you're going. I'm going to just keep going to... So the question, Kevin asked, so what was out of balance when he started? I would say probably he's not really sure when, but what was the difference was adding in rock powders and avoiding a lot of compost and manure. That was what made the difference. And when I see a soil test and I see potassium above 200. Typically, I keep compost out of the recommendations. If it goes lower than that, then I do recommend some controlled amounts of compost, not indiscriminate amounts. So potassium was one that has been would be something that can go excessive with the compost or manure. And I think what was maybe out of balance and not so much showing up on the soil test was the broad-spectrum trace minerals that come from the rock powders along with the silicon is probably some of the benefits that are making things do much better. But that doesn't really show up on the soil test. Luke, do you have any questions, or I'll keep going?
Not at this point, John. Just keep going.
Okay.
Can I leave a quick thought there, John?
Yes, go ahead, please.
I'll try to make it real quick here. Someone asked about do I own a lab or something like that. Let's make it real clear. I'm just an average fella that happened upon this, and I'm very thankful I did. It cost me money like it costs everyone else and cost me time, but the system works. I have nothing personal in this. I'm donating here to just give my thoughts on it, and I can't say enough about it that there's nothing behind the scenes here with what I'm telling you. I'm just telling you the truth.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, we appreciate that, Cliff. You and I have had many conversations, and it's always so encouraging to talk to you and just hear the success. That's what I kind of like about what I do is I kind of get similar stories from a lot of people. So, you know, like taking the time to share it is pretty neat.
Right, and I have never met John or Luke, but they have both, when I needed the questions answered or anything, they've both been very gracious with their time. Luke has spent hours and hours with me on the phone, and I hope this doesn't mean, Luke, that your life is going to be consumed now with people calling you, but I'm just trying to give both Luke and John very good scores on their customer service.
Well, I'm pretty sure a lot of people would not agree with that in terms of emailing. So I know I have a lot to do more there, but it's good to hear your story. Somebody wanted to know how much manpower or time somebody working are you devoting to your garden?
And are they talking about the entire 6,000 feet or just the garden portion of that? I'm assuming they're meaning the whole 6,000 feet.
I think so.
We don't keep track of hours. I just know we're busy, and in the summertime we have lots of daylight, and we work until the job is done. We do have 5 children. We all work together at it, but we also all eat. So I feel like that regardless of what's behind the question necessarily, if you're just trying to raise food for however many people you have in your household, it's a doable thing if you make it a bit of a priority. And it's obviously a priority to probably everyone who's on the phone right now, or you wouldn't be on the phone. I wish I could give you a definite amount of time we spend. I don't know how to tell you that.
Okay, another question. On the amount of income or money that you have to pay for the program, what portion do you would estimate would be postage?
That would be perhaps a Luke question. I should know that, but what do you think, Luke? Would it be about, I'm going to say a third of our expense is probably postage?
I guess close to that. I mean, yeah, the freight isn't really an option, so we have to do the postal boxes, but you know, if you were in Anchorage and we could send a truck up, I priced that out once. That was through the roof. So freight is a factor, but we do the best we can.
Right. I feel like the flat rate box thing is the answer for us here in Alaska, or maybe even around the States. I don't know. You can fit a really nice amount of what you need in one or two flat rate boxes. So if someone's thinking of gardening on just a smaller scale for a couple of people, you're going to be a fraction of the costs we're talking about. I kind of do things, we do things in a fairly big way when we do it, because I'd sooner get it all done in one shot and then not have to go to the grocery store. So if a person wanted to just get started with a little garden patch, you could probably do this for, including your soil sample, you might be into $100.
Okay, another question. Have you found a source of limestone in the state?
I want to say we have just bought our limestone here at the local hardware store, I believe. We have not shipped it from down south because that wouldn't be cost effective, but I think we have just bought, I think you recommend, is it the prilled limestone, or am I thinking for our lawn? Luke, can you refresh my memory on that?
Well, we use the carbonized limestone in production, but regular limestone is more than adequate for turf.
Okay. Yeah, and that might be an Amy question, too. I'm not sure on that one.
So, Luke, are you sending the limestone with the blend, or is he adding that in?
Well, for the vegetable, all of the garden areas have got the carbonized lime in the mix, yes.
Okay. Okay. Question here, how long is your growing season? How many frost-free days do you get there? What's your latitude?
We are just north of the 60th parallel. On the Kenai Peninsula, so somewhat of a moderated climate. To tell you the length of our growing season get technical on that, I can't for sure, but my wife starts her gardening plants, the ones that need to be started. She starts in February or March under grow lights, then we move them into a heated greenhouse in late March. And then late April or so, early May, I think, is when we're considered frost-free, I believe. Don't quote me on any of this, but I'm giving my impressions. So as far as an outdoor growing season, where we are, for instance, seeding our carrots in the ground in the garden, I think we are something like the second week of May when we seed. Once again, my wife is, she's the one that could probably answer those questions a lot better than I can. But then we our carrots throughout, so May, June, July, August, September. We usually get our first frosts in September. Once a carrot has frozen a little bit, I'm told that the juices go back into the root and they turn sweet, and they are fantastic carrots. So I don't know if that exactly answers that question. We get lots of daylight, but not a lot of heat. Raised beds, I feel like, are a great way to save the soil temperature as well as to help your soil drain. And also, when you think of the amendments, I think your amendments go a lot farther when you've got a defined raised box than when you're just randomly throwing it on your garden. I feel like there are lots of problems with just putting our amendments right out on the garden as compared to a raised bed.
Okay. Do you use any mulch for your soil or not?
None. Well, I guess I don't know what you're referring to as mulch for sure, but our strawberries, we use a rolled out, I guess I call it like a filter cloth, maybe that's what you're referring to as mulch, and that keeps the strawberries clean and keeps the moisture in a little bit, but that's all we do. We don't use any other like bark mulch or, you know, some people want to use like a pine straw, that kind of thing, and it just, from what I understand, that can raise the acidity in your soil as well.
Okay. Question here from Ann. Have you seen any health changes in your family in the time you're doing this?
You know, I can't say that we have. It wasn't really the reason we did it. I believe in it. I think that our body's ability to absorb what's in the nutrients in what we eat have to be far greater when what we're eating is healthy and balanced to begin with. But it was not our intention to aim at trying to correct a health problem. It was not even really our intention to get as what would you say, self-sufficient as what we are. It's not our objective, but we have eaten, even if there were no health benefits and no financial benefits, the food tastes phenomenal. It looks phenomenal. We just eat meal after meal. I've said before that one of the disadvantages to living like we live is that restaurants don't taste good anymore. We don't feel like eating out. So I can't say as far as any specific, cure for our family. No, I wouldn't say that.
Cliff, maybe implied in the question and not stated was like, you know, before, did any of your kids get colds or flus a certain number of times a year? And like, has that sort of like diminished maybe? Or is there any other,
you know,
indication of health
or
vitality?
We have actually... we've never even connected the dots on that one now that you mention it, but we have often talked that we hardly ever get sick over the last 4 or 5 years. And, you know, you can say this is an unbelievable statement, but I've never considered connecting it to our gardening. But maybe there's really something to that. And I know a lot of people would probably focus on that and call me out for saying I hadn't connected those two, but it just hasn't been our intention.
But was there more cold and flus prior to the last 4 or 5 years?
Well, there was. In fact, I have asthma, and I'm prone to getting colds and hay fever and that kind of thing, and it seemed like I was sort of sick, you know, kind of once a month almost. And now I finally had a bit of a flu bug here just a couple weeks ago. We traveled out to the States for Christmas or for Thanksgiving, and I ended up with some sort of bug. It never hit me real hard, but I told my wife, I said, you know, I haven't been sick for so long, and that's another thing. And I'm not saying it's connected, but it sure may be. And that is that the bugs we do get, which are rare, they never hit us very hard. We're up and going again in a hurry, and maybe, just maybe, it's all connected.
I think it probably is.
I don't know why it wouldn't be. I guess I'm the typical American that thinks, you know, the cure for our problem is to go to the doctor and get pills. But we haven't needed it. It wasn't our objective, but I believe it probably is having a great effect on that. And I just hadn't given that a thought. I apologize, you guys, if I'm giving you the wrong answers. I'm just telling you the truth here that maybe there's more advantage to this than what I have even recognized.
Well, question for you from Gary. Did you use a refractometer prior to working with us?
No, that was a new thing. Luke and probably before that, Christine started talking about the BRICS levels in our stuff, and that intrigued me. I thought, I want to compare, you know, and we did back then, 4 or 5 years ago when we started, I compared with some store-bought vegetables, and some of those things wouldn't even register on the BRICS meter. It was like there's nothing there. As compared to our stuff, even though it wasn't real great at that point, it was head and shoulders above this other stuff.
Okay. And then since that time, you've not done a lot of documentation, but you believe it's going up.
Yes, definitely. I definitely do. The vegetables look and taste better, and I'm convinced that they're just simply better in all aspects. I think the health benefits are likely huge. I just haven't had time to monitor it to say that it is that way for sure.
Okay. I'm thinking not, but do you use any biochar as a soil amendment?
Do not. I would actually like to get some advice on that. I don't know anything about it. I've read a couple articles, but I do not.
Okay, and Gary asked me to talk about that, but I'm going to probably hold off on that for another conference call. We'll talk more about it, but I think it's well worth exploring and incorporating, and I've got some experiments I want to do with some of our growers with biochar. But I'll save that fully for another class or course. Let's see. Generally, can you describe your soil, kind of the type, whether it was do you have any thoughts on what your soil is basically?
Well, not really, other than it's just our native Alaskan soil on the Kenai Peninsula. It grows, naturally just grows scrub Alaskan black spruce trees, very acidic. The soil along our driveway that we built when we moved this place, this will be a good point for you. When we moved in here 6 or 7 years ago to this property, we built a driveway in and built a new house, and there is still nothing growing in that soil along our driveway sides. It's nothing. It'll grow a little bit of fireweed, but it's virtually, whatever's wrong with it won't grow anything. It doesn't grow weeds even. It's just nothing. So what that means, I don't know. John and Luke probably understand it a lot better than I do, but we just used our native soil, knocked the trees down, raked and picked the roots out of it, and sent in soil samples to John and Luke and started adding the amendments that they recommended, and that is it.
Okay. And have you added any more compost since you started with the program?
No, sir. I've been tempted so many times, but not at all. This would not be considered compost, but I think Luke told me it would be okay to add a little bit of fish bone meal there. I think last year we did a little bit of that, but as far as compost, I literally have it sitting on pallets that I was planning on putting in 5 or 6 years ago before we started this, and it's still sitting there on pallets.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, I'm going to look through a few more questions here. What form of silicon is Cliff adding? Silicon would be coming from the rock powders in things like the soft rock phosphate. So it'd be calcium, phosphorus, silicon, trace minerals, kind of in a colloidal clay base. So that's where the silicon would be coming from. Let's see. Just going through a few more questions here. Average rainfall per year or season?
I think it's about 16 or 18 inches.
Wow.
And that would be rain and snow. It's dry, I suppose, by a lot of people's standards. We water. We've got drip system, which I prefer. But the potato patch and garden, I don't have it in yet, and so we just run a sprinkler on there.
Okay. Okay, Samia asks if you've ever grown any fruit trees, grapevines, or any other fruit besides strawberries.
Raspberries, strawberries would definitely be the majority. There's lots of potential here for raising fruit trees. They're coming out with some grafted. You can apparently even grow Honeycrisp apples here on the Kenai Peninsula. We have not done it. I think particularly with the high tunnel here, there'd be lots of opportunity for that. So I'm going to just say that we have had not much experience with fruits. It wasn't really our objective. Maybe I'm too impatient to put something in the ground and wait 5 years to pick something off of it.
Okay. Okay, question here. What are your thoughts of going off certified organic requirements for Hybrix? So you're doing a non-certified organic program. There are some commercial fertilizers, but it's primarily rock powders. What are your thoughts of that?
Okay, now you're talking to someone here who's just going to give you his opinion. This does not come with anything but just experience and my own opinion. I feel like that the word organic has been exploited in a terrible way. I think that people think because it's organic that it's magic, or that they're getting something that's really good. And I just think it's been, to a large degree, a moneymaker. I'm not saying it's not a good thing. If you really truly know that it is, in fact, organic, I guess it's probably a good thing. I guess I would sooner, when I see some of my gardening counterparts here, friends that are strictly organic, and I see their stuff looking like ours used to look, I think, you know, maybe if you can figure out a way of doing it so-called organically and balance your soil perfectly, then fine. But I don't think I've met anybody that can claim that thing. And what does the word organic mean? I think if you would ask 10 different people, they'd probably give you 10 different answers. Our soil is not made up just of organic matter. It's made up of minerals as well. So that's probably a very uneducated answer, but that's my opinion. If you're going to try to follow this organic mindset, I'm afraid it's probably something that's going to be a moving target.
Okay. So for you,
having said that, I was impressed. Luke did point out to me, he said that there's no life-killing, nothing is going to kill life in what has been sent. I don't want to put any chemicals. We don't put any chemicals on. So if somebody's idea of organic is lacking putting chemicals, we don't put any commercial, like any sprays or pesticides, herbicides, nothing like that goes on our stuff, and our stuff is healthy.
Okay. Well, that kind of concludes. Okay, that one question: can this system be used for fruit trees? Yes, it can be. It works really well for fruit trees as well. And that really concludes the questions I have. Luke, do you have anything you'd like to ask?
No, I think Cliff pretty well covered it. I guess, you know. No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, Cliff, I just want to say thank you. This is really nice. I always like Luke, I always like to hear back from people, and also when it doesn't work so good, or when you feel like it's, you know, it's not working as fast as you'd like, but I always like to hear back and talk to people. I do recall one situation where a lady did it 3 years in a row, and she says, you know, I've done your garden program 3 years, and I haven't seen any benefit. And I said, really? No benefit? No, no benefit. And I said, well, okay, well, I think you should try it one more year. I know it works. The principles are there. I really couldn't understand it. She was in Oklahoma. And then she called back the next year and says, oh, I had a fabulous crop. I said, really? What happened? What was the difference? And she goes, oh, we've been in drought for 3 years, and now we can use water again, so I'm watering my garden. So it's like, oh, well, this program doesn't work if the garden is not watered. So, but I do like to hear back from people.
All right. Well, my pleasure. Thank you all.
Yeah, thank you so much, and thanks to your family for sharing with that and sharing of your time.
Okay, you're welcome.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Cliff. Really appreciate it.
Yeah,
and thank you to everybody. I would like to make an offer for people who have not. If there's anybody listening to this, you can always sign up for some free articles I've written. It's at gardeningfornutrition.net, and that's a good way to get introduced to the concepts that go into the program. And then with that, I want to thank everybody for participating.
Thank you all.